Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we look at all the latest comics and other media featuring the Transformers. In this episode, we return to the Sacred Ring to see if Durak and Salila can survive the assault of Proximus and Skybound's Void Rivals number 8. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2024, and this is episode 384 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that, when we think about how this podcast got started, we aren't at all surprised that we're in the situation we're in. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
What situation is that? Recovering from being lost at sea? Was that something on the podcast? Hi, everyone.
Char, a.k.a. Robo Apollo.
What situation are we in? Hi, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian beast.
I think Charles knows exactly what situation we're in because he put us here. Let's talk Transformers.
Daryl's just upset that we are reviewing Transformers adjacent comics on a Transformers podcast. That's all.
It's not even adjacent anymore. They're not even talking. That's ridiculous. Let's just finish this. We might as well
next
be talking
month,
about
Daryl.
Spider-Man. Might as well talk about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Okay. We could talk X-Men 97. We could do that.
They are also about as close to Transformers as this book as well.
But
that's
book
not
had Transformers
true.
In it. X-Men yeah. hasn't had Transformers in it, right?
Yes.
That Avengers crossover back in the early 2000s.
No, we don't talk about
we
that.
We don't talk about that.
But we should, because it was also as adjacent as this book.
All right, next week there will be an honest to God Transformers comic, Daryl. Okay, next week.
Can we have an alt mode ish episode where we actually talk about some news? We've got to do one of those. We got like 2 months worth of news that's backed up.
Too many comics. All right. We start off the show, as always, by thanking our Donatrons, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show and help us keep everything going. Your contributions really, really keep this train moving, and we never stop. So if you are not a Donatron and would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can sign up. Of course, as a Donatron, you get access to some bonus content that includes We Like Big Bots, our bonus show done by Daryl and Dr. Pants, where they go into their collection and show off all their big bots. Dr. Pants is showing off one right now.
They're just always here.
Yeah. He just has so many that he can just grab and show.
Mine are back there.
Daryl's about to be swallowed by all his big bots in that room. But so you can look at 12 episodes of We Like Big Bots featuring Daryl and Dr. Pants. Lucky number 13 coming sometime soon, I hope. Crossing fingers. You can check those out. And those are all available on our Patreon page. So if you are a Donatron, you have access to those. Next up, we've got our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust. And if you are a Donatron, you have access to the early bonus version of episode 112, The Bot Who Escaped. And that's right now available on our Patreon page. If you are a Donatron, you can listen to that right now. Of course, if you are just want the regular edited, fully edited version, that will be out this Monday, April 8th. And that will be at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. And that will continue season 3 of Empire of Rust, where the bots have gone to Earth to start their new mission. So you can check that out. Next up, we've got our exclusive Skybound Transformers number one cover that was sponsored by Transmissions Podcast. This has the artwork by EJ Sue, awesome artist we met at TFCon LA last month. And so we've still got plenty of copies available for people to order. We also will have them at TFCon Toronto if you want to pick one up there. But you can order directly from our website at transmissionspodcast.com/comic. And we will ship that out to you. Lastly, of course, we've got our 15% off code at toyhacks.com. And since it's a new month, we changed the code for April. The new code is Springer. This will work for the entire month of April. So spring has sprung. Use that code Springer to get 15% off all your orders at toyhacks.com. Okay, so that's all our promos. So let's move on with our comic review. This week we are reviewing Void Rivals number 8. So this is the continuing the inaugural Energon Universe comic that started off with the lots of Transformers teases and references in the first story arc, and now we've been focusing on what's going on in the Sacred Ring with Derek and Salila in the second arc. So started off with issue 7. Now we're at issue 8, and the warrior Proximus has been sent to hunt down our main characters, Derek and Salila. So we'll see how they do. Void Rivals number 8, written by Robert Kirkman, artist Lorenzo Di Felici, colorist Patricio Del Pesci, letterer Russ Wooten, editor Sean Makowitz, logo and publication design Andres Suarez, production Jillian Crabb. So we start with a flashback to Salila as a child. She and her younger brother, Pallada, have been sold into slavery by their mother to become child soldiers. As she helps her brother tighten the straps on his armor, she tries to take his mind off their current situation. Pallada asks his sister if she thinks their mother ever loved them, and Salila responds that she needed food and Zirtonia needed warriors. Pallada ignores this answer and just says he hopes she did. Salila agrees, but quickly changes the subject. She asks if her brother is ready, but Pallada is still a child. He's scared and just wants to go home. Salila harshly tells him to stop showing weakness. Pallada hits his sister in the face, yelling that he is not weak. Salila raises her shield and encourages her brother's attack. As the children's fighting gets more intense, an observer watching them remotely is pleased to see the two newest recruits already primed and ready for combat. Back in the present, Salila and Derek continue their journey through the wasteland. Salila stares off in the distance as Derek asks, "What's wrong?" Salila says it's nothing, but she was thinking about the one person Zelilak might send into the wasteland to kill them, but it would be foolish and reckless to send him. Derek asks if she's known Zelilak to be reckless. She hesitates and replies, "Maybe." And we know she's right because Proximus is already tracking them as they speak. Derek and Salila's journey continues. Handroid recommends stopping to rest since they've been walking all day, and Derek and Salila haven't eaten. Derek wants to keep going, but Salila sides with Handroid, so they stop for a rest. Salila asks what's at the midpoint of the wasteland and how will it help them get to Agoria. Derek replies that he doesn't want to say because his memory is hazy. He's vague on the details, but he knows there is salvation there. Salila is only convinced she's going to die out here. As they continue on, Derek hears a strange, high-pitched noise in the sky above. Salila knows that sound and tells him they need to run, but it's too late. A small projectile lands at their feet and immediately explodes. Derek and Salila are knocked off their feet as a massive Zirtonian warrior approaches on a motorcycle. The warrior declares that for the good of the Sacred Ring, they both must die. Salila knows this is Proximus, the deadliest Zirtonian warrior, and she is certain they won't survive this encounter. Derek isn't so pessimistic and draws his blaster to fire at the oncoming warrior. The blasts do nothing, and Proximus jumps off his bike to smash Derek in the helmet with an arm. Derek is only stunned for a second and gets back up. Celilla urges him to run while she holds Proximus back. But Derek wants to be a hero and won't abandon Celilla. Celilla draws her spear and clashes with Proximus's energy bow that he uses as a staff. Derek jumps behind her to fire with his blaster again, and Proximus delivers a powerful roundhouse kick to smash him to the ground again. Proximus turns his attention back to Celilla, but he hesitates. He thinks he recognizes her, but Celilla doesn't think it's possible. Proximus shakes off his hesitation and declares she's a threat to everyone. He fires his energy bow, and a blast of energy speeds towards Celilla. She is agile and tries to avoid the blast, but like a homing missile, the energy bolt follows her every movement until it hits her and knocks her down. Proximus enjoys the hunt that he's missed for far too long and approaches to finish the job. But Celilla is down but not out. She yells, "Handroid, now!" and raises her spear. Handroid fires a barrage of energy blasts from Derek's unconscious hand as Celilla throws her spear. The blasts distract Proximus and make him a stationary target long enough for the spear to impale him in the torso. But Proximus is more machine than man, and the damage is minimal. He kicks the unconscious form of Derek in annoyance and turns back to Celilla. She raises her hand to call the spear back to her, but Proximus grabs the spear embedded in his body and holds it firm. Since the spear can't move, Celilla must. Her spear's recall function backfires, and she is pulled into Proximus's grip. He grasps her by the neck and starts squeezing. Proximus is irritated that his prey managed to damage him, but ultimately their assault accomplished nothing. Proximus continues to squeeze, and Celilla's helmet starts to crack. But Handroid has one more trick up its sleeve. In five clicks, another solar windstorm approaches. Handroid's countdown clicks to zero, and the windstorm blows Derek and Celilla away from their attacker. Proximus quickly regains his footing, but he's lost his quarry in the windstorm. In frustration, he pulls Celilla's spear from his midsection and throws it high into the air. Elsewhere, Derek is blown a far distance away. As the windstorm subsides, Derek starts to regain consciousness. As he recovers from the beating he just took, he asks Handroid to scan for Celilla. At first, Handroid detects no motion in the immediate area, neither Proximus nor Celilla. But eventually, Handroid detects something 400 paces away that could be Celilla's armor. Derek follows the trail and is shocked to find Celilla impaled on her own spear. To be continued. So, that was Void Rivals number 8. Pretty much just, avoiding Proximus. Lots of, not a lot of moving the story forward, but a lot of action. I don't know. kind of interesting, but I was looking for some Transformers references. We didn't get any. We know we're getting some in the next issue, but for right now, this kind of was just a placeholder for me. One interesting thing, I guess, was that the hint that apparently there's a little bit of a, it seemed to me at least that they were hinting that Proximus is actually Celilla's little brother, Palata. And, after he had been vastly, modified and changed after being a warrior for so long and then had been turned into the deadliest Zertonian warrior, but at one point was her little brother. So a little, a little Darth Vader moment, but mildly interesting, I guess. The artwork was mostly fine. The only thing that I was a little confused about was the page where they actually have that windstorm. I looked at it several times and had trouble figuring out exactly what happened. Like, I was wondering if Handroid was actually like firing had a bomb or something and fired something, but it doesn't look like anything happened except just like this windstorm just appeared out of nowhere. And I guess Handroid was maybe tracking the timing of the wind, the weather patterns or something. And that's how it knew that that was going to happen. But that was not clear to me. Kind of a meh for me for this issue. I'm going to hand over to Daryl. I'm guessing Daryl will be much worse than meh. I don't know. We'll see.
I tend to agree. This is nothing. This is a bit of a nothing issue. Nothing at all happened. You know, they fought. They didn't die, which they're the main characters of the book, so they're not going to die. Although it is a Kirkman book, so you never say never. But this is kind of typical Kirkman fashion where nothing kind of happens for an issue or two. Pretty disappointing that there's no Transformers references whatsoever. I mean, this is right into the wheelhouse of the G.I. Joe books now, where there's, you know, we're just reading it because it's associated. The stuff at the beginning where you said that they were sold into slavery, I didn't get that. I just thought that their mother kind of left because she was going to be a warrior. That's what I kind of took from it, but I don't know. Maybe you saw something different about the selling the kids into slavery.
Well, I mean, I think the line that young Salila said was, "Mom needed food and Zertonia needs warriors." I thought that was the implication, was that the mom sold them so that they became warriors while the mom got paid or whatever.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. The other part was, I agree with you at the end where it's confusing as to how the windstorm kind of kicks up. I don't know how Salila ends up on her spear, right? Like, you see Proxima throw the spear into the sky, and then at the end, she's impaled on her spear, right? Like, did Proxima track her flying through the air with the windstorm, and then
the spear had the return feature on it. So he threw it in her direction, hoping it would like track her because she's trying to pull it out of him.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah. But only if she's calling for it, like Thor's hammer. Right. So, I mean, yeah. So it's, I don't know. That confused me as I'm like, how did she end up stabbed? Like, obviously this character Proxima was trying to kill her anyway. So that's the way it kind of ended. She looks like she's in dire straits now. So now they're in the middle of nowhere. She's impaled and dying, and Proxima's gone. So, or we think he's gone. But yeah, this is a whatever book. It didn't push the story forward. It was just a fight, which I'm fine with. The Transformers books have been a lot of fighting, but they've also managed to push the story forward a little bit. A little disappointed in this one. There nothing at all happened, other than a fight. So, and I'm trying to figure out this world. Like, where they have motorcycles, but then they have spacesuits. Like, is it a space motorcycle? Like, what is, I don't understand. Like, what is the, where's the technology at? Like, they still have, you know, motorbikes like we have here, but they also have spacesuits and spaceships and stuff, but they, like, Proxima needed to track them down on a motorcycle. I have a real problem with this motorcycle.
Yeah, it's cool.
It just
looks
cool.
He wants to be cool. It's about the hunt.
So, anyway.
He's also using a bow. Are you going to complain about the bow?
Yeah.
Well, it's an energy. It's an energy bow.
It's a space bow.
Well, yeah. the motorcycle is a space motorcycle.
Yeah. I guess so. So
he has very different anyway. Techniques.
Anyway,
no, I agree with you, Daryl. I mean, I think it would make more sense to have like a hover bike, right? So that you can
fly
around.
You know. Yeah.
But I don't know. All right, Char, what were your thoughts on this issue?
You know, it's similar to both you, Charles, and Daryl. I liked the art. I'll say that. I liked the art. I prefer it when they do have their masks on. I think they're more expressive with the masks than without them. And I got the impression that Salila and her brother were sold into slavery too, based off that food comment that she made about their mom. Yeah, but nothing really happened. It's like, why was this even? Yeah, the guy came, you know, the hunter guy showed up, and that was it. Like, you know, it was just, it felt like it ended in the middle of an issue when I was reading it. I was like, wait, it's ending here? Like, this is not, and it wasn't even like, I mean, I guess it's a cliffhanger, but like, it didn't feel like it was even done. Like, you know, like cliffhangers kind of have like this feeling like, ooh, like I want to read more. I'm kind of like, I don't know about reading more of this, you know. But, you know, I'm looking forward to more Transformers stuff. I do think there's a lot of cool concepts with this world about it being around a black hole. I think that's really cool in general. You know, there's two worlds connected, you know, that have been sucked in towards this black hole, and they're like at war with each other now, it seems like. Like, I like that part of it, like for the world building part, but put more Transformers in. I'm siding with you know Daryl on this one. Like, you know, I've seen The Walking Dead. I haven't read much of the comics, but I know that Robert Kirkman can do incredible storytelling. It's like, can we please get to that? Like, okay, like, can we get to your incredible storytelling, sir, please? Like, because it's just, it feels really unfinished to me right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also the problem with like serialized comics. I mean, it's, and we've talked about like pacing and getting something interesting happening in each issue is really important. And if you kind of make issues, like, for lack of a better word, call them, I mean, it's probably not fair to call them a filler issue, but if you don't have like a climax or something happening in each issue, that's a way to kind of lose your audience. So, I mean, now in hindsight, now I see why they were like trying to hype up what's going to happen in issue 9 so much, because they're like, we might lose people with issue 7 and 8. So we got to tell them that, no, stick around. Issue 9, we're going to have more Transformers in issue 9. So please keep reading. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I can see why, because these two issues are, yeah, you're kind of losing me.
Yeah, like, I honestly wish they would have had, he went by Jetfire in this, right? Like, it wasn't Skyfire. Yeah, I wish Jetfire would have been their companion. Like, even if he wasn't, like, the main character, it would have been great to, like, have him, like, as a companion. And maybe that's what will happen, because we can talk about that they spoiled with issue 9, right? Like, because they spoiled it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Springer will become a companion to them, and then it'll be more interesting. But yeah. but right now, yeah, I was surprised you didn't show him earlier during the promo. But, you know, it's just, yeah, it just feels like it's missing something right now. But, you know, I've been really impressed by Robert Kirkman's work in the past. So, and like with Invincible, you know, so I'm hoping if this turns around. So,
yeah. All right, Dr. Pants, what are your thoughts?
I am actually going to be against all of you and say I really like this issue. And the funny thing is I have not read any Void Rivals except for issue 7 and 8. And honestly, like, they kind of have me. I kind of want to keep reading it. I am huge on the whole space opera thing. I love sci-fi that sets up stuff like this. And while, yeah, it was a lot of action issue, I'm looking at the beginning and how much that beginning goes to setting up stuff that's probably going to pay off more in the future. The whole scene between Salila and her little brother, like, yeah, it sets up that whole idea that Proximus is her brother, which is hopefully going to lead to a cool dynamic then between him hunting them and, you know, his relationship with his sister, if he ever remembers that's who it is, or finds out that's who it is. But there's also this idea that, like, I'm reading this beginning and Salila's like being very harsh with him and like very inhuman about all of it. And just being like, you have to fight, blah, blah. And it's just kind of ironic then that he's more machine than man anymore. And she's still, you know, human and whatnot. And I don't know, that could lead to something really interesting. And I kind of like what they're doing with that. And I wonder how that'll go along with her, because she obviously, she has to know who Proximus is, because she even says like, there's one person that they can send. And she seems to know a lot about it. So I'm wondering if she knows who Proximus is or not. The fight, I think the fight is just a big payoff from last issue, because last issue we heard so much about Proximus is this ultimate Zirtonian warrior, but they never show us a thing. And now we get to see him like actually fighting, and it's obvious he's a threat. We're setting up a big bad for this series, which is kind of cool. And the fight scene was impressive. I like the artwork. I thought a lot of what happened was great. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like the Handroid moments every now and then, like him just saying things, because it was just funny most of the time. Just him yelling out, I warned you, when Derek's like, you're not helping. But I don't know. There's something about this. There's some intrigue and some mystery into where things are going that I am really curious to see where it keeps going and what it's going to lead to, because there's a lot that could happen with this. And also, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm used to this kind of stuff. Like, I'm willing to let it sit for the payoff. It's not like it was I don't think it was a nothing issue. There was something there. It just wasn't as much exposition. It was mostly fighting. But there's still stuff going on, and there's still stuff that's making me go, okay, what are you going to do with this next? And I'm waiting for the payoff. And I'm waiting to see where things go from here. And I'm interested. And I just want to see what happens in this world. But again, and I'll preface this for anybody listening, I am one of the people who liked IDW2 of Transformers. I liked every issue of it. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. But I like this. And I like the artwork more in this issue than I did issue 7. I didn't have as many issues with it. And I will agree with Char that when they're wearing the masks, there's much more expression because the eyes are so much more
expressive.
Yeah, they're just more expressive and they're more exaggerated. That was the word I was looking for. I will mention one other thing I kind of liked is like Proximus, you never see any eyes in the mask. He kind of has just that triangle shape in the center. But the one shot where he is face to face with Salila when he says, "You damaged me," you can see the eyes in his mask, and they are the exact same shape and mirroring Salila's. Or maybe they are just Salila's eyes reflected. I don't know. But it's this kind of like cool reflective moment then that like, oh, they are brother and sister. They are the same, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. There's cool little touches in it, and I'm digging it. I like it.
So the issue is you just have bad taste.
I think the issue is I can appreciate I can appreciate the quiet moments, and I can appreciate the not quiet moments as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do have bad taste. Let's just, you know what? I like the Clone Saga for Spider-Man from the 90s. Does that impact this at all?
Yes.
No. That is a good like little detail you pointed out, though, Dr. Pants, about the "you damaged me" part. That part was actually really cool with the reflection of her eyes and on his mask, you know, and that her she's saying I had to at least do that much because, you know, she did that to protect her brother. You know, he wouldn't have survived probably otherwise if she wasn't cruel to him.
Protect Derek. Oh, yeah. You're right.
If he is her brother. Did they even say that? It seemed like it was really implied. No,
it's just implied. Heavily implied. Yeah.
You know, if he is her brother, it's just like, you know, she had to probably be tough on him so he would survive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's our review of Void Rivals number 8. And then next week we're back with Transformers. So stay tuned for that. And I think Jeremy's back next week. So we'll see how that goes with We'll see all the things he has to fix when he gets back.
Yeah. We need you, Jeremy.
All right. Let's continue on. We've got a little bit left of the show. We're going to go on with some convention news.
All right. And convention news this week, we've got some TF Nation, updates. So Greg Berger, no, if you know who he is, he played a dinosaur, robot dinosaur back in the 80s, among other things. But Greg Berger will be attending TF Nation 2024, as well as another person who played a dinosaur, David Kay.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So David Kay, Greg Berger will all be attending TF Nation 2024, as well as somebody who is very good at drawing dinosaurs, Nick Roach. So Nick is a pretty much a mainstay for TF Nation, but getting Greg Berger and David Kay is pretty cool for them. So yeah, and we all love Nick. We've been able to have Nick on the show a couple of times, and we've chatted with him at various TF cons. So yeah, this is TF Nation 2024, August 9th to 11th at the Hilton Birmingham Metropole. So I believe tickets are on sale now, or if they're not, they will be soon. They just had the mini con, actually, the TF Nation mini con that just happened last weekend. So
that seemed
pretty fun. So yeah, if you're in the UK or are able to go to TF Nation in August, please do. They put on a good show.
All right. And lastly, we do have a little bit of feedback. So we got just on YouTube, we got a couple comments from one of our regular YouTube watchers, Stuart Tyler 9339. So he's been watching a lot of our videos and commenting pretty regularly. So this is from Alt Mode 383, which was our G.I. Joe doubleheader that Daryl didn't like. And I want to read these comments because I think Daryl will appreciate them. So first up, Stuart says, Nemesis Enforcer, heart emoji, kissy face heart emoji. This makes me happy. Sorry, Daryl. next up, he had a comment later in the video, since we were talking about how, like, the when the dreadnoughts were just like, we just killed that random dreadnought for no reason in the bar, and he says villains do bad things, especially gangs. He has a quote: obedience due to love and affection is unreliable, while obedience due to fear is not. And that's a quote from Machiavelli. While I agree with the sentiment, Stuart, I still have to question murdering one of your random gang members for no reason. That's just a waste of resources. I mean, you can still inspire fear without murdering one of your own people. So I think that's going too far. Like I said, it's just a waste of resources. Like, now you're down a gang member and you got to replace them. So, you know. That's and another comment later on, because we were talking about the violence in the book, and he says, this is Skybound. Walking Dead, Invincible, Astonishing Wolfman, Haunt are all hyper-violent books. That's kind of how Kirkman's corner of Image Comics tends to work. So if you are I don't think any of us expressed like a major problem with the violence, just I think Mike was a little bit more surprised by it, but for me, it's not super violent. It's just, whatever.
It's a comic book. It's different than a movie. It's different than something where it's like, it looks real. It's a comic book, it's at best, it looks cartoony.
Yeah.
So a little easier to digest.
also skip those parts too. Like, just look at it really quick and be like, oh, skip.
But yeah, thanks, Stuart, for writing in, and keep commenting on YouTube. Keep watching, keep listening. Hope you're enjoying it. Thanks for continuing to write in. And continuing to endorse our Energon Universe non-Transformer comic reviews.
We need your support.
Charles is searching these out. Yeah. Charles is searching these people out now.
They're on our comments on our video. I don't have to search anything.
No, is that you're finding people that you know in your day to day and saying, "Look, I need you to comment on this video."
Or Charles is making alternate YouTube profile accounts and commenting himself. Because did you notice? I don't see that feedback in the doc anywhere.
No, I didn't see that. He could have just wrote it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can go to the it's there in the YouTube video. You can go, you can check the account. That's not my account. Maybe it's Jeremy. Now. It could be Jeremy.
He's not here.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Jeremy's alternate name, Stuart.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, thanks everyone for watching and listening. Char and Dr. Pants, thanks for joining us this week. It was great hanging out with you guys again. Char, why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff online?
Yeah, happy to be here as always. So you can find me on the site formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Robo Apollo, and then also on the Transmissions Discord, and to join that you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/discord.
Great.
Yay.
All right. Dr. Pants, as always, it's great to have you back as well. So where can we find your stuff?
You can find me anywhere you can find Nerdstradamus. That is the name of my group of friends and I when we do dumb things on the internet. It's mostly a YouTube page, but of course we're on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, all that crap. We're everywhere. No one really pays attention to us, but we're there. So please come check out stuff. We appreciate it.
All right. And of course, at the end of every episode, we give a shout out to our masterpiece Donatrons. These are the folks who continue to support the podcast at our highest level on Patreon. And we really appreciate that. So that's why we think it deserves a mention in every episode. So thank you once again to John Forex Levengood and Demon Tech 82. You guys are awesome. And thank you to everyone who watches and listens to Transmissions and Transmissions Alt Mode. We really appreciate the support. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.